Hi, everybody. Welcome to our holiday edition, round number two here on Making Waves. Dennis Rahm and
Steve Bankwist with you today.
Looking forward to it. We're going to talk snow. It is wintertime. It is the holiday times. We're going to talk the opportunity to get out to Echo Valley this season and take advantage of all they have to offer. Steve, first off, before we get into that with Lucas Green, who is the president of the Echo Valley Club out there, let's just briefly touch on the last program we had with Santa Claus, Ray Dobbs, Jerry Eisenhart, yourself and I, and we had a whole lot of fun with that. Got some great response.
Great to reminisce a bit about Helicopter Santa and years gone by here in the Lakeland Valley with Santa Claus. And it was great. Had a lot of positive feedback.
We certainly hope that everybody has the opportunity to get together with friends and family over Christmas. If not, then the new year coming up just around a bend as well. Now, we did talk about the fact we're going to discuss Echo Valley. Lucas Green is here with us. Lucas, first off, I want to welcome you into Making Waves, and let's get right into it. You guys just recently had a board meeting, and you were hoping to get underway the day this show comes out on Thursday, but Mother Nature not coming through with enough snow, so you're in a little bit of a hold pattern. What's the status of that?
Yeah, Dennis, we're just waiting on snow at this point, and temperatures haven't been great the last few days, but towards the weekend it's looking better, so we're just going to play it day by day, and as soon as we can open, we will.
Now, you indicated you might even do some sort of a soft opening.
Yeah, if we have enough snow down low for the tubing hill and ropes, we'll open that. If we don't have enough snow for the Pama, we'll just open what we can.
Lucas, 60-plus years. Steve Bykwist here has been involved with the organization over a number of years. That's a long time to provide entertainment for those here that live and visit in the Lakeland Valley.
Yeah, it's been a great asset. It's very rare in the ski industry these days to have a ski club owning and operating a hill. We're one of the last types like that around, so hoping to keep it going. But, yeah, it's a strong tradition in the valley.
Lakeland Ski Club goes back numbers of years. Started out very small in the Greens Landing area, actually, with Wally and Dale Peterson putting in a rope tow driven by an old truck, actually, there. And ultimately, Wally, a few others, but Wally and Steve Griffiths, who's then manager of Trout, the late Steve Griffiths, very a pillar in the community, if you will, back then. Nonetheless, he and Wally went up to the current area the ski club is located and did some dreaming. They called it a power lunch. They sat on a stump up there. I've seen pictures. I've heard stories about what was discussed and what was drank during the power lunch. But that was the beginnings of the Lakeland Ski Club as we know it today. Strong history here in the Lakeland Valley. Have had fits and starts, have had several dark years with no snow, financial burdens, have had community come together to help with a thiacol, had the community come together to help with purchase of the Pama, et cetera, et cetera. We can talk about some of those stories, but it's more germane to talk about this year and what's going on with the ski club. Financially in good shape, even if things were not able to work out. But nonetheless, I'm sure we're going to have plenty of snow, and it doesn't take much to open Echo Valley.
That's right, Steve. We just need a few inches on the ground. As long as, it's mostly white, we can slide on it. We're up there. Kids are smiling. It's a great time. No matter how much we can get, as long as we can get a little.
Lucas, before we get into, and we will, the fun stuff, I promise, Steve brought up some good points, and I know one of the things the club was struggling with is, like a lot of organizations, you had individuals involved for a great amount of time, for a number of years. Those people get older. Those people get a little bit tired. They're looking for some fresh blood to come in and kind of liven things up a little bit, take on some of the necessary tasks that have to be done, and that happens throughout any kind of service organization. I've seen it time and time again. Your group has gone through that as well, and you've had, I know, a movement of late to try and get some newer, younger members involved, and it looks like that's working.
Yeah, that's correct. In the last 2-3 years, we've brought a lot of younger people onto the board that have young families that have want to get their kids up there, and it's great to see that group getting involved and also having the institutional knowledge of the older generation helping out and also having the retired guys having more time to come up to the hill and volunteer as well is still nice. But it's been great to see a newer generation come up there and take the reins, so to speak.
It's interesting to note that a lot of those younger folks that are now becoming involved in the hill probably actually began to ski at Echo Valley back in the days when it was dedicated to dollar-a-day skiing, and I didn't care what it took. We got kids from the Chelan and Manson area on the hill, taught them how to ski, and they went on. They moved out of the valley. They had kids. They went to college, whatever they did. A lot of them are returning now, and some of that younger blood, if you will, for the organization.
Steve, I'm going to let you speak to an individual that I think we'd be remiss if we don't bring the name up in a conversation when it has to do with skiing and teaching youngsters how to ski, and that's the Lake Cork Ott, who I don't know how many people he probably taught to ski up on the slopes, but I know a lot.
Cork and Alice Ott had Lakeland Ski for numbers of years, had a retail operation here on Main Street, had a retail operation in the Methow Valley, had a retail operation up towards Omak, and had the concession up at Echo Valley, and literally hundreds and hundreds of people were outfitted for the weekend, for the day, for a season with Cork and Alice Ott. Cork did some teaching on the hill, but there were also others that were involved in that process as well. I spent many a night sleeping on the floor of the rental facility at Echo Valley, going up for the weekend and participating in helping rent, do whatever around the place, and then actually sleeping on the floor in a sleeping bag. Also remember the days when there was no cell service around. It was tough to get communications in and out of Echo Valley. The radio station had a rather robust two-way communication system. So not only did we get ski reports down from the hill on the two-way radio, probably hourly actually, as things were moving along and helping promote people to get up there, but we also provided communications, not only emergency communications if needed, but I do remember sitting in the control room of the radio station more than once and having a call down and say, "Hey, would you have what's his name over in South Chelan bring up some more hamburger buns, and we need some relish, and oh yeah, we need a whatever," and we somehow actively help in the logistics of it all.
Let's talk, Lucas, some of the numbers of the facility itself, kind of for people that don't know, maybe haven't been up there and spent time. What do we have in terms of the facilities that are offered? I know you've got tubing and you've got boarding now, and of course downhill skiing, but somehow you got to get up to the top. What do you guys feature?
Yeah, so we've got for skiing, we have three rope toes on the lower area, and then we have a pommel lift that's a surface lift similar to like a T-bar, but it's a one person per pommel stick going up, and it takes you up to the top, and got a few runs coming down and great views, and great terrain.
How has, for example, boarding and tubing changed the dynamics up there?
Well, the tubing hill has been a huge financial asset to the club. We added four tubing lanes and have tubes provided, and it's been great to get people up there. People that don't know how to ski, maybe just an introduction to snow. The tubing aspect is affordable. You don't necessarily need to know how to tube. You just go up to the top and get in a tube, and you're sliding down the hill having a great time. So that's been great. And then with the snowboarding and skiing, you have waves of popularity when when snowboarding was in the Olympics. We had a bunch of people wanted to snowboard and got into that, and now freestyle skiing is coming back, so it's just fun to see it kind of go back and forth, but everybody's up there for a good time.
Do you know, maybe you don't have this answer, but how much acreage is involved in the complex up there? I'm curious.
So we've got 70 acres of groomed terrain. Most of it is on privately owned property that the ski club owns and operates, and then we do have some leased terrain through the Forest Service as well on the Pama. So yeah, about 70 acres. And
also up there, of course, you have a lodge facility as well.
Yeah, we've got a lodge. We've got two fireplaces, which is one of our claims to fame, and we have a food concessionaire that sells hamburgers, hot dogs, Bob's world famous chili, probably the cheapest meal you can find at a ski area in the nation, but great food, and it's a great place for parents to hang out and for kids to dry out and get a cup of cocoa, and you can see all the action from the lodge, so it's a good spot.
I had noticed and have done in the past when I'm not skiing or not participating, it's a great place to just go up and have lunch. And I would seriously invite people that may not be familiar with Echo, may not be familiar with skiing, tubing, or any of that kind of stuff, just to go up and grab a hamburger and sit and watch, perhaps by the fireplace. It's great. I'll call it pastime. It's a super lunch.
Well, you know, it amazes me, Steve, because I'll guarantee you, we all assume a lot when you have lived here for any period of time. But I've run into a lot of people that have been here for a while that have never, ever set foot up at Echo Valley or Echo Ridge.
Yeah, same thing with, I've never been to Stehekin kinds of things. You hear that from residents, it's too bad, but just take the opportunity to get up there whether you're involved directly or not.
Now, I know, Lucas, unfortunate you can't hit the opening when you wanted to, because this is one of the longer extended periods of open time for Echo Valley, is when school is out for the holiday breaks. You're going to miss some of that. Let's go through the hours. I know once you do get open, you're open all through the holiday vacation.
Yeah, that's right, Dennis. We're going to be open through January 6th, which is when Seattle schools and Manson schools are back. We're closed for Christmas Day. But other than that, once we get snow, we're going to be open through Christmas break, and then weekends and holidays after that through President's Day. And then we are open for New Year's Eve. We're having a New Year's Eve party. It's a great time. We got the lights on. The people are tubing, skiing at the ropes. We do a torchlight parade from the top of the Palma, which is, people are excited to see that. And that's from 6:30 to 9 on New Year's. It's $10 for to ski and tube. The food in the lodge is available. They've got a special loaded baked potato, which is the dinner special for $5, including their full meal. And then a bonfire at the end, and huge bonfire, and we're able to roast marshmallows on little fires, and it's got a lot of great feedback from the New Year's party, so looking forward to this year.
I saw a great photo of the torchlight parade that was posted up on your website, I believe, and looked really cool up there, kind of shot at a distance. So Lucas, I'm going to guess that you have kind of two groups for that event, because you're going to have those that are going to go up on to the top and make their way down via whatever mechanism they're going to do that. But you probably got another pretty core group of people that are maybe hanging down by the lodge, and they're watching everybody come down the hill.
Yeah, that's correct. We with the torchlight parade, it's a lot of volunteers, board members, and people that are up there really anxious to help with that. And then the rest of everybody are down at the bottom watching the action, and down by the bonfire, and taking it all in.
Kind of a cool thing, you could do that, take advantage as a family, go up there and go through that whole process, still get warmed up at the end, hop in your car, come back home, and be there in plenty of time to ring in the new year at home or somewhere else.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's East Coast New Year time, so you've got all the other ones to look forward to as well.
One thing that we should point out, Echo Valley doesn't take a ton of snow to open. Volunteers have spent years and time getting all the rocks out of there. It's mowed regularly. It's probably, the grass up on the hill isn't much longer than the grass that you might have in the front yard. So you can open Echo with not much in the way of snow at all.
Yeah. Keith Carpenter, took the reins, I asked him, how much snow do we need to operate? And he said, well, it depends, but we can open on a hard frost. So, it doesn't take much. We need a little more, but we don't need, like 3 feet like other places do.
Well, I'm going to ask Santa to bring some snow. How's that?
That's also on my list.
One thing to point out is Echo does have grooming equipment, so the hill is groomed on a regular basis. And it's interesting to note, you have a fairly new piece of grooming equipment that was in part supplied by people in the Lakeland Valley who lent the club some money. Over the period of time, there's been numbers of pieces of grooming equipment. I remember the first one, of which I think the doors are still on display at the lodge that have people's names on the side. That thiacol was brought to town, parked in front of the radio station. We went on the air, asked people to contribute $100 to sign their name on the side of the thiacol, and we had phenomenal results to that, and I think we paid for it in very short order, and that tradition continues.
Yeah, I mean, how we were able to purchase this one is we reached out to community members, and they were willing, more support than I expected, to loan us money to purchase this groomer, and we're paying it back ideally in about a 5-year plan, and yeah, everybody's willing to chip in, which is great to see.
Now, I know it takes a community to make something like this viable, and you have a lot of people that donate valuable time and whatnot, and yes, that's where I was headed with this. I know you have an affiliation with the Lions Club, and I'm curious if you could maybe explain that relationship.
Yeah, so a few years back, Echo Valley ran into a scenario where the insurance costs were exceeding what we could afford, and the Lions Club stepped in, and basically they have a program where they provide insurance through an agreement where we're a Lions Club activity. They assume the insurance for us, and it's been a lifesaver for Echo Valley, and we're forever grateful to the Lions Club, and there's a lot of Lions Club members that are highly involved at Echo and vice versa. It's been a great partnership.
As that whole thing with the Lions Club was coming to fruition, I remember that the cost of insurance darn near exceeded the gross of the ski hill, and it would have truly been an end of the show.
Yeah, I mean, that was a reality back then. So, I mean, that was a huge lifesaver for Echo, and then, with making it through that, and they added the tubing hill, which is a better, more of a profit center, we're in much better shape now than we were, and just, trying to keep that going in the future.
Any idea on a busy day, how many folks are utilizing that tubing hill?
Oh, we probably have, I mean, on our busiest day, we've probably, I mean, at one time, there's maybe up to 100 people cycling through, and not everybody tubes for 7 hours. So people come and go, but we have hundreds of people utilizing the tube hill on any busy day, and everybody's, smiling and having a great time.
Let's come back around to some of the things that you offer up there. First, before we talk about equipment and lessons and all that, I want to talk about how you get in. Certainly, there's single pay admissions, but you also have family memberships available. Kind of walk us through that process.
Yeah, so we've got with the Lake Chelan Ski Club owns and operates Echo Valley. We sell annual memberships to the club, and with that, they get a season's pass to be able to ski at Echo Valley, and they get discounts at other ski areas. So we've got those memberships. You can do an individual membership, which right now is $175, which is a steal if you're looking for a season's pass anywhere. And then a family membership gets the whole family in, and that's the membership rates, annual membership for an individual is $175, and for a family pass membership, it gets the whole family in, it's $475, and unlimited skiing when we're open, and discounts at other ski areas as well.
That's a pretty great deal. And then, of course, for maybe the more casual utilizer or someone coming to visit, just single pay, just come on up, and for the day you're there, you pay and you're in.
Yeah, we've got daily lift tickets, so you just come to the ticket office and buy a ticket. You get access to the ropes and the pama. That day ticket is $30 for the day. It also includes tubing, so you can ski till your legs give out and then head over and hop in the tube. And we do sell tubing only tickets as well, and those rates are, it's $15 for a full day of tubing. We have a half day rate that starts at 1 p.m. that goes down to $10. For tubing, and then we do a family pack for tubing that's $50, and it's up to six family members. So cutting a break to the bigger families and getting them up there.
That's a bargain indeed. Now, I know you mentioned tubing, and you don't want folks bringing their tubes because you supply. And are those like individual seated tubes, or will they handle more than one person? How does that work?
Yeah, they're individual tubes, and they've got a liner on them, so it's not like the old days where we're hopping on a tractor tire and heading down
and getting poked somewhere.
Yeah. So and they're faster, and they've got a rope on it, so you can tow it around, so it is provided. So don't bring your own tubes or sleds. We have everything you need.
So do you have sleds up there as well?
No, we don't, and we actually don't allow sledding on the runs, just because it kind of messes up the grooming, and it's also a liability issue with not having as much control on a sled as skis.
All right, now what if you are a skier or a boarder? You can rent those if you don't own your own?
Yeah, there's a rental shop on site where you can rent everything you need, boots, bindings come on the skis, boards. You've got helmets for rent. They'll rent you glove protectors for the rope toes. So, I mean, you've got to just show up in your winter clothes, and they'll take it from there.
You mentioned control, and I remember that. I started laughing. I remembered that we had two instructors up there then, the late Papa Shaw, Lloyd Shaw, and Tim Flood, who's still around. And he took, one of them took Jer Eisenhart, and one of them took me on a learn-to-ski venture, and then a competitive race to the bottom of the hill, except for we had to do it backwards. And I can ski fairly well. Ankle injury from long ago keeps me from skiing now, but I had a hell of a time, frankly, trying to ski backwards in any kind of race format. It's hard.
You needed some more beverage, I think.
It was out of control in the morning before beverage.
Yeah, when I'm teaching, snowboard instructors, and one of the big things to kind of help put it into perspective for snowboard instructors is have them strap on their backwards foot and snowboard that way, and it's a humbling experience for most.
Lucas, I'm curious, is there a relationship between Echo Valley and, for example, the other ski areas nearby, including Mission Ridge?
Yeah, we have. I mean, we honor their season pass members get a discount when they come to buy a lift ticket at our place, and we offer a discount for theirs. And Mission Ridge's been a huge help with they do a Pray for Snow party every year, and down in Wenatchee, and they split the proceeds of all the beer sales between the three nonprofit areas around them, which is Badger Mountain, Leavenworth Ski Hill, and Echo Valley. And they're also been very supportive on the instruction side. Like last weekend, we were able to go up, take all of our new instructors to Mission Ridge. They comped us tickets, and we were able to train our instructors on snow at Mission Ridge to be ready for when we're open at Echo Valley. So it's a huge help.
How many instructors do you have at Echo Valley?
Right now, we've got probably close to 15, ski and snowboard. Some have done it for a long time, like myself and some others, and some are basically 2 weeks ago said, I know how to ski kinda and I want to teach. So we're definitely accommodating, and helps to have a lot of instructors up there to be able to teach a lot of the people who want to learn how to ski, because that's what we're up there for.
As you move forward now, what are maybe some needs of Echo Valley? Do you need more volunteers? Do you need more people to get active in the club?
And that's been a big push the last couple of years, is we're looking to get more membership to the club. A lot of people don't know that it is a nonprofit volunteer board club that runs it. We just are looking for people that are just interested in helping. We have volunteer items up there where they can show up, and I mean, we could train them to help with the tubing hill, or help them, you know, run a rope toe, or just help with getting people where they need to go.
Volunteers are needed in all aspects. I don't care if it's painting the lodge, replacing windows. I've been involved in all those things, gathering wood for the fireplace. There's all sorts of volunteer opportunities. All you got to do is say, hey, I got some time, I'm ready to do something.
And if people want more information on the organization, you have an active website?
We do. The website is echovalley.org. We're working on a new and improved website, but for now we've got echovalley.org. And then our Facebook page is very active for up-to-date information as far as like opening and our events. That's a good spot to go is our Facebook page, which is Echo Valley Chelan.
So I'm guessing right now it would be nice for you folks if people, they can get their tickets in advance for that New Year's Eve event. Can they do that?
We actually don't have pre-sale tickets, so at 6:30, so we close the hill at 4 after our normal operation, and then at 6:30 we reopen, and we just buy your tickets then and get out on the slopes and start having fun under the lights.
That's one thing, under the lights you mentioned. I was instrumental and very involved back in the day of helping putting in underground wiring and lights and whatnot for the hill. Not often are they used anymore. Used to be a regular nightly event once a week, but that's not the case these days. However, Echo is just absolutely spectacular at night with the lights.
Yeah, it's great to see them on, and we're hoping to be able to offer another night skiing night or two. Just need to get that in place, but for now we've got the New Year's night.
New Year's night, New Year's Eve night, we should say, and need to be having either Santa or Mother Nature. We don't really care which one comes through, but to provide some of that white stuff for you guys. Lucas, it's been a pleasure to have you be a guest on Making Waves with us this week. Anything additional you'd like to talk about maybe for the club or to get out there to the public?
No, I just think, when you see snow on the ground, think of us, come up, give us a visit, and we're a unique ski area. A lot of feedback we get from visitors is we can't find a place like this. It reminds them of their childhood, how they learned how to ski wherever they were at, and it's just a refreshing place to go. We don't have a lot of, we don't have flat screen billboards on the hill or music blaring, and so it's a refreshing place to go.
Now, the distance to drive from the main highway, along the lake up to the parking lot for the hill, how far is that?
It's about 7 miles, and it's actually a pretty equal distance between, if you're leaving Manson or Chelan, it's kind of between. So, generally we say it's about 20 minutes up the hill, and you're there ready to go.
And the roads are well-maintained.
Yeah, it's county road up there, and they take care of us.
Steve?
Made it all the way through without mentioning yellow snow.
And on that note, all right, well, Steve, we'll give you a chance to say Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to everybody.
This has been a great experience, and it's been a super year. Looking forward to another outstanding year, and appreciate everybody listening.
Lucas, happy holidays to you and your family.
Thank you. You to yours, and thank you for the opportunity.
All right, that's going to do it. Echo Valley, our topic of discussion today here on Making Waves. Hope you have or had a very Merry Christmas, and that is going to be a blessed New Year for everybody as well. For now, Dennis Romstein, Bikequist on LakeChelanNow.com's Making Waves.